Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day to everyone. Welcome to Whiplash Talk. This is Sunshine. I am coming to you on the most beautiful day. It is almost summertime. It's been warm. We've had rain, and then now it's beautiful outside. The sun is shining. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited that you're here with us. And I have a special guest with us again. I have JJ Carroll back with us, part two. We didn't even scratch the surface last week or last 2 weeks ago whenever we were talking with him. And I asked him if he would just do us an honor in coming back. And he agreed. And we're going to talk about his book, Treason. I wanted to read a couple of things to you about JJ. If you didn't get to catch his first show 2 weeks ago on bbsradio.com/whiplashtalk. It's dated May 24th, 2025. I really encourage you to go listen to that show. It was incredible. And I think you and your friends would really enjoy getting to hear that show. You can listen to them front to back. It doesn't matter. Listen to this one and then go catch that one. They're not tagging on to each other. So I wanted to talk to you guys about his new book. It is actually a book that he self-published. The first one he did, he ended up getting censored. And so he thought, not doing that again. And so he had to buy the rights back to that book. And then he did this book. It's called Treason. And it's the Biden administration's strategic and malicious destruction of America's sovereignty. And the dedication in the book really hit me. And I'm like, there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that when you're out there doing podcasts or talk shows or whatever, they just think that you're out there doing your thing. But there's a lot of back behind the backwoods stuff that goes on. And he dedicated this book. It says, "I dedicate this book to podcasters and investigative journalists. We are the new media!" Exclamation point. And I just wanted to say, JJ, thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I think we are the new media. I think the legacy mainstream media has been proven to have lied to us for decades, maybe over 100 years now. And with the DOGE coming out and showing the fact that the Biden administration for 4 years through USAID paid millions of dollars to over 6,000 journalists and over 700 news organizations and platforms to push propaganda. And no one even really talks about it. It's shocking. That's Pravda from Russia.
It is totally shocking. And when you see the videos where they start layering the different broadcasters, where they're saying the same thing, the same words, the same rhythm, and they're saying it over and over, and it's from all over the country, all over the world. And you're like, wait a minute, what? It's all propaganda. And you're like, my goodness gracious, MK Ultra has not died. So last show, you and I, we covered so much territory. And I encourage everybody again to go catch that on the May 24th, 2025 show if you didn't catch it. But we talked about your passion really came out, JJ. And that's what I really liked, is you were so passionate and it was fire. We truly got into the raw, uncensored truth about child trafficking and child organ harvesting and child sacrifice. And yes, I said child sacrifice. And then you hit on that America is the number one exporter of pornography. And is that child pornography or is that just pornography in general?
That's just pornography, and it all comes out of LA.
Wow. And then you also said that we are number one consumer of child trafficking via our federal government. Did I get that right?
Well, we are the number one consumer of child pornography in the world, and we are one of the top nations that physically pays money to rape children. And the United States federal government in the last 4 years has become the largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. Now, that's my words after doing 24 years in the Border Patrol and then creating two documentaries, one specifically on child sex trafficking. I went and testified in Congress in November about child sex trafficking to no avail. There was no, it was just a waste of my time. And then just 2 weeks ago, RFK Jr. comes out under oath in Congress and makes the exact same statement as I did. And then he went further and said that HHS, with his Health and Human Services, is the, he calls it the principal vector. You know how he speaks, it's kind of choppy. The principal vector, the main collaborator of trafficking children into sex and into slavery. That is a powerful statement. And to say that the United States government has been the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history, and no one reports on it. They just yawn. They just act as if it doesn't happen. It's not a big deal. And the reason why, the only reason that I can understand, is because there are so many people involved in child trafficking and the pleasures of raping children in America.
And if I remember correctly, we touched it last time on the show. You talked about someone asked you, and why is it, JJ, that it's not being reported? And the person brought up, and you brought up in the talk 2 weeks ago, because congressmen, senators, and presidents are the pedophiles, and the ones that are not know the ones that are, and they're complicit.
Yes. And then I had finally seen someone repost yesterday, about 2 days ago, repost a podcast from November 2023, I think it is, going in 20, yeah, 2023, excuse me. And it was General Flynn, who was head of the DI, who held the capacity that Tulsi Gabbard has now, has access to all of the intel data and videos and logins, everything. And he made a statement that he knows of senators and congressmen that go overseas, and his words are to have sex with children. There's no such thing as having sex with children. They can't consent. Therefore, it's raping children. Congressmen and senators that are raping children overseas under the blanket and security of the United States of America. This is a man that had access to all of the information from the intel agencies, is making that statement. And I remember that day that I watched that. I was multitasking, which I hate to do because things fall between the cracks. And I'm writing something down, and I'm listening to this interview, and I could not believe it. And I said, I had to have heard that wrong. I rewound it. And sure enough, no, unfortunately, it's exactly word for word what I just said. And I sat there and I watched the next 30 minutes going, this lady, this big podcaster's got to ask him the obvious question: who are these senators and congressmen? Silence. Didn't even ask the question. And I was like, and nobody reported on this, which was shocking. I was just a retired Border Patrol agent that just wrote a book, and then I find myself in this media, my new quote career in media, and I'm like, how am I? I'm just some dude that just came out with a book. I'm not media. You guys are trained in media, but they're not. They're trained in propaganda. And when you hear somebody of that stature say that out loud, and no one says anything, and then I find myself in the depths of this child sex trafficking, which I don't like. I hate every aspect of it. I hate talking about it. I did when I did my documentary, What Is Treason Traffic? I did, promotional tour, if you will, and I was talking about this for 8 hours a day, and I was getting nauseous talking about this evil. But when you begin, when I found myself in the midst of this and filming it and talking about it and creating a documentary, I would interview these men that have all the alphabets behind their name. So you can just imagine FBI, CIA, this group over here, this special guy over here. And they all told me the same thing that you just said. You need to understand, JJ, the reason why nothing gets done is because the pedophilia runs everything. Why do you think Epstein Island and P. Diddy are so important right now? Why? Just everyone just take a step back and ask the question that nobody wants to ask. Why? Why is this such a big deal? Because what is left? There is nothing left outside of child trafficking or child rape to use to blackmail someone. I can say you killed somebody. Okay, well, where's the evidence that I killed that person? Or maybe it was self-defense. But when I have videos of you raping children, it's game over. In across the world, yes, there's pedophiles and stuff, but in society, you're done. You're never coming back from that, right? You're never a video of you raping a 3-year-old girl or being partaking in some kind of satanic ritual on a 15-year-old little child, and training her with another 15 guys, it's over. You're never coming back from any of this. That's why it's so powerful. And then ask yourself the other question. And this validates everything that we're talking about right now. When people say, well, JJ, maybe those guys that you talked to just had, they were wrong, or they made it just said something just to try to grab your attention. No, they were right, and I can prove they're right. How do I prove that they're right? Because no one in positions of power in the Republican Party or the Democrats are screaming for the Epstein files to be released. None. Why is that? If you
Very
were
good
righteous,
question.
if I was in the House, or if I was a congressman or senator every single day, I'd be putting bills up. This is a bill to see all of Epstein's files. And now we hear Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, who I'm too big, not, I don't want to say fans of, but people that I respect. And they're coming, and now they're coming out in Joe Rogan saying, well, there's no videos. Okay, hold on a second, Kash Patel. Pam Bondi just said there were tens of thousands of videos. So you go from tens of thousands to zero. FBI raided all of his homes and found and seized, that I'm aware of, 20,000 DVDs. 20,000 DVDs from hidden cameras across all of his homes. Who's lying to us? Who is lying to us? Why haven't we seen any videos from P. Diddy's house?
Good
What?
question.
Why? Well, we know that President Obama went to a multitude of his parties. How's that? How do we not have a picture of President Obama in any of those homes? Why? Why don't we? Because they're all in it together. That's the dirty little secret. And they utilized the open borders for 4 years to bring in minimum 1 million children. They've arrested, we, the Border Patrol, arrested over 550,000. RFK Jr. admits in front of Congress, which I did too, and I said the number of 320,000 that the Inspector General of the DHS said that were missing is a lie. The real number is all of them, meaning all 550,000. And RFK Jr. says under oath, yeah, we've lost it. HHS lost all of them. We have no idea where any of them are. Wow. Okay. So there's some, but I keep coming back to this very, where are the arrests, right? I create a documentary where I have enough damaging information in that documentary to secure indictments. You can go arrest somebody, indict them, and start squeezing them down to figure out the finer points. If I have that from, quote, the outside, if I have that, can you imagine what kind of evidence is inside the halls of power in Washington, D.C. that everybody knows exist, but they hide it in plain sight? And we go all the way back full circle. Why? Because the vast majority of all the people in this political power structure in Washington, D.C. are involved in it.
And is it timing? Is it because they're trying to get the head of the snake, but they just keep getting higher and higher and realizing that it's deeper and deeper? I mean, you've worked this. I haven't. Do tell.
Well, here's something that I'm watching Dan Bongino, who I respect as a law enforcement guy, and then I have greater respect because he has accomplished what I want to accomplish. So I remember watching Dan Bongino in the new media world when he was making that transition from federal law enforcement into the media world and then creating, quote, his empire. So I've been watching that for probably over a decade now and really admiring, going, okay, that's the blueprint. That's what I want. And listening to him talk prior to becoming the deputy director, and his boldness and him saying exactly like I say it, very clean, very black and white. This is what's happening. There is no other explanation. And then he gets in the position of authority and power. And then he gives a interview to Maria Bartiromo. Now it's about 2 weeks now. He looks, and I've talked to people that read people for a living, do they're investigators, interrogators of in military and law enforcement, and we've had these open conversations together, and we're saying, in fact, I just talked to a very good friend that was an interrogator and in special forces in the military for the intel side, and he was a propagandist. And I said, tell me what you think when you saw that. He goes, he lied. I watched all of his body language. He lied. And I said, I know he lied. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm watching and I'm thinking that's not the same guy. Who got to him? Maybe I'm wrong, but the multiple people that I've talked to that I respect, where we don't play games when we talk. We're just very, we have X amount of time and we need to get down to the brass tacks. What did you see? I saw him lying. There's no way he was telling the truth. What? Then the question between us is, well, who got to him? And what is it that they can get to guys? Is it the family? Is it like men like him and men like me? I don't, you can come and you can threaten me. That's fine. And we can have a fight. I can take my gun if I feel like it's get to that point and shoot and kill you because of self-defense. That's fine. But the moment you get into your wives and your children, now the whole game changes because you can't be there all the time. Or if you die, yeah, that sucks, but you're dead and it's, you know, but you're never going to be able to live with yourself if your wife or your child get hurt or killed by these people. So I don't know. I don't know how. The only way that they're able to control everything is to make it all disappear. So now the new narrative with Jeffrey Epstein is no, there is no evidence. There never was any evidence, or if it was, it was destroyed. Okay,
I don't believe
hold
that.
on a second.
No,
Hold on a
no.
second. That can't be the new, but that's the new narrative. I mean, Kash Patel said it on Joe Rogan on, I think it was Thursday or Friday or whenever he did it. It was this week. And he said, well, no, it doesn't exist. Hold on a second. God dang it, man. You can't just make statements that things don't exist when people have been openly talking about them existing for years. Then if they don't exist, who then tell me, Kash Patel, who destroyed it?
Exactly. That's where I was going to go. If they're going to go that route and tell us that they had them and they had it all. Remember how we've been told we have it all. So if you have it all, then if it's not there anymore, who destroyed it? Or again, going back to you've had to do covert operations to where you've had to not tell the truth to get deeper or to get higher.
Well,
Could that possibly be?
that could possibly be, but I'm very adverse to the theories of quote the long game, where people are playing a long game and trying to like the Elon Musk and Donald Trump argument or fight or whatever you want to call it. People say, well, I think that's a long game and they're playing. I don't think I don't I, those men are too busy to play games, right? If I'm Donald Trump and someone said to me, "Hey, this is my idea. Let's fool everybody." I'd be like, "Hey, bro, I'm sleeping 3 hours a night. I don't have time to play games, right? Maybe you do shooting rockets, but he doesn't even have time." So when we start talking about the long game and all that, what doesn't make sense to me though is when people tell me in positions of authority and power that, like Dan Bongino, well, we just found a room where the FBI was storing and just stuffing case files and not putting them in digital format or logging them in. They're just throwing them in the room. My thought immediately is, hold on a second. I ran a station. I ran an evidence room. There's procedures for everything in federal law enforcement. So someone that just took evidence and threw it into a room, like literally a room, and stuffed evidence and files and just threw them in there. Do you know how absurd that is? Do you know how absurd and stupid that is to believe that is actually true?
Yeah, explain the chain of command because some people don't know what you guys have to go through when you have evidence like that.
Okay, let's just do my station where I was an interior station. I was a deputy patrolling in charge at an interior station in California where we would interdict human smuggling and narcotic smuggling on Interstate 15 and Interstate 5. So let's say that one of my guys, they hit a narco load, they get 100 pounds of cocaine. Okay. So when they bring that in, they're going to drive the vehicle literally into the station, followed by a border patrol agent logging the mileage, saying, okay, I left the checkpoint or highway marker such and such, the vehicle had this on their odometer. We got to the station, which was 5 miles away. The odometer stated blah, blah, blah. Okay, gets to the station. I take pictures. I strip the car apart. I find the 100 pounds of narcotics. I take pictures of all of it. I go into the evidence room. I have to write my name down and time. And somebody else has to write their name down and time as a witness. And then we sit there and we weigh it and we categorize it. We seize cell phones, wallets, listening devices. Everything you can imagine that's seized is put into this vault. And then when I go to case to go in front of the grand jury or go to court, I have to transport those narcotics or whatever else is the guns, whatever it is, I have to transport it. And there's a chain of custody that is meticulous because the very first thing a defense attorney is going to do is say, I want to see the chain of command. Whoa, there's 2 hours here that's unaccountable. Could it be that you didn't have 100 pounds of cocaine? You had no cocaine. And then your partners brought 100 pounds of cocaine in those 2 hours and put it in the vault. And you're sitting there and know what the judge is going to do? The judge is going to go, this case is dismissed. We have a
Yeah,
chain of custody issue. So
exactly.
I'm telling you, on in the FBI in Washington, D.C., where the power structure is, they're claiming they have a room that everybody knew about. When they had cases and files on Epstein or P. Diddy or the Russia hoax or whatever, they just took files and evidence and threw it in a room.
Not a
Do you?
locked room, not a caged room, a
No,
room.
just a room. So
Yeah.
my point in all this is it's very simple to go and pull out a case file and go, whose case file is this? And go down the case file and go, Agent X. This is your case file. Did you throw it in there? No, I didn't. I put it in the file cabinet in the lock in the evidence case in a per procedure. Or yes, it was me. It's not like I have to do the Sherlock Holmes. It's very simple. There's procedures and there's basically fingerprints on everything, meaning who had this last? Okay,
Right.
now sit down and tell me under oath why this case file is in a closet or in this room. It's absurd. The whole
Yeah.
thing that's happening in law enforcement now is absurd. Nothing makes sense. And then when nothing makes sense, you have to ask yourself the very first question, am I being lied to?
Right.
That's it.
Right. And you know, something that's really interesting, thank you for sharing that because a lot of people don't know that about law enforcement and that process. But 2 weeks ago, we really didn't get a chance to even scratch the surface on your new self-published uncensored book, Treason, the Biden Administration's Strategic and Malicious Destruction of America's Sovereignty. So I want to segue into that because in here you define treason as the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government. And it's not really the greatest segue, but yet that room is something that would be part of what I would think would be previous administration to where they don't care, they don't follow procedure, they're untouchable. So why do I have to do things the way I do things? That's just me surmising. But let's pick up this book because you have some amazing information in this book that I want to get out there to people.
Well, I do agree with you. I know it's to call it a segue, but I would like to say to your audience, everything that we just talked about, you're absolutely correct. It's all connected. There's not segments of what's happening in America today that are happening in a vacuum, meaning they're all connected. All of this illegality, this criminality, this treason has been going on for a very, very long time. But these last 4 years under Joe Biden was it was on steroids. That's an understatement. And you're right. They got to the point where they just simply didn't care. Why didn't they care? Because who's going to hold them accountable? Speaker Johnson? Speaker Johnson, just so your audience knows, Speaker Johnson's first continuing resolution, his CR, he had more money in there than Nancy Pelosi was going to put in there. More money. He gave $9.7 billion to the NGOs for like 6 weeks because he allowed the NGOs were the biggest part, the biggest machine in this treason. And I want your audience to also know, because my book is heavily cited. It's on research, it's on my experience, and it's what I witnessed in filming two documentaries, but it also is cited academically. So I challenge everyone that's listening, do not believe anything I say. Don't believe anything that I tell you today. And I want you to go fact check everything that I say, because you're going to be shocked when you find out, dear God, that guy wasn't lying. It sounds absurd what he said, but he's telling the truth. And it does sound absurd. My first book that I wrote, Invaded, I did the same thing as I did when I wrote Treason. I like to write late at night, and I would write a chapter or so, and I'd go back and reread it. And there were times where I would pause and I would think, no one is going to believe this. They're going to call me all kinds of vile names, conspiracy theorists, xenophobe, racist, Nazi, white nationalist. And I would just say no to myself, nope, you're on target. This is the truth. You just have to say it and articulate it the way that you need to. And what I found, and I don't know the right adjective. It's not joy. It's not like I feel glad, but I have been professionally validated since Donald Trump took office with Doge, because everything that I wrote about has come out to be factually true. The RFK Jr. factually says, yes, this is correct. 500,000 plus children have been trafficked and lost. Elon Musk comes out and says, yes, the federal government used NGOs, international NGOs, George Soros NGOs, and domestic NGOs under the color of religion, was paid by USAID to move 30 million people into the border. And then our domestic NGOs were paid from FEMA to move them into the interior of America. And then through Elon Musk showing that what I have reported is that the Social Security numbers have been stolen, that billions and billions and billions of dollars have been spent on illegal aliens to the tune now that I believe it's well over $1 trillion in the last 4 years. So when I see this come out, and I wrote this book and I waited to the very last moment, if you will, to publish it, I waited for the first week of Donald Trump's term in office, because I wanted to see what he would do those first 7 days. And I wrote my final chapter on Donald Trump. And then I quickly published it. Everything that I've written is true. Our government under Joe Biden, and when I say Joe Biden, I'm talking about that demented old fool. I'm just saying Joe Biden as a group of people decided to intentionally transform the United States of America demographically by using the weaponization of illegal immigration. And how do I know that? Was I there during those meetings? No, I wasn't. But I was at my desk as I saw 94 executive orders cascade down on day one, obliterating everything Donald Trump did and opened the border wide open. I was there. I witnessed it. I was there for the first year of Joe Biden's term, where he put in 296 executive orders, all on illegal immigration and open the borders. All of it, 296. This was premeditated. Our government committed treason against America. And when you understand the numbers, and when you dive into the numbers of who these people were, just not a number, but who are these people? Where'd they come from? Were they males, their females, children? Who were they and where'd they come from? It will shock you to your core.
So let's talk about. I personally believe that Biden's presidency was a little bit more of a cover for a previous for Obama. I believe that he was kind of running the things behind the scenes. That's me personally. Do I have proof? No. But the depth of the wickedness that unfolded that you just described. I don't know, as you said, the demented old man, as you put it, could have pulled any of that off. And so the people that were behind him, and there were even visually as his leadership, I don't think they had the wherewithal to be as organized to pull off what they pulled off. So I will leave it at that. That's my opinion.
Well, no, let's flesh that out for a second. So the main culprit of every policy that focused on illegal immigration and destroyed and created out of whole cloth unconstitutional, unlawful policies, and who obliterated every law in the Immigration Nationality Act, that was Alejandro Mayorkas, a American naturalized citizen from the communist nation of Cuba. And where did he begin? He began all the way back under President Obama in 2008 as the secretary or director of USCIS, then became the deputy secretary of DHS, and then became the secretary of DHS. If you go back and you look at every immigration policy that wrecked our country these last 4 years, Alejandro Mayorkas was not the driver of it. He created it. He was the mastermind behind it all. And everyone knows it. And because I want your audience to understand, the United States Border Patrol, when Joe Biden left office, had a 100-year history, in a great history. 96 years out of that 100 years, we never did anything, not one thing that Joe Biden made the Border Patrol and ICE do. Why? Because it was against the law. We never did that. Let me give you an example. You cannot release illegal aliens into America. You can't. It's against the Immigration Nationality Act. We released, Border Patrol arrested over approximately 12 million people in 4 years and released 95 to 97% of them onto the streets of America. And then the federal government has admitted to at least 3 million getaways, which is a joke. Then they openly admitted through FOIA requests from the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org, that they flew illegal aliens into America and then let them walk across the ports of entry to CBP by millions. And they openly admitted to flying chartered flights of flying illegal aliens into America in the dark of night and not counting them. They admitted that in a FOIA. So our federal government admits to 18 million people in 4 years.
Just so
18
people
million.
know, just so people know what a FOIA is, Freedom of Information Act, that's a request that you can make of a government entity and they have to provide the documents to you. Go ahead.
Well, CIS was, let me show you the arrogance when, and this kind of goes right back to what you were saying. You're talking about a lawless administration that was just like, screw it. We're going to do whatever we want. When CIS.org did that FOIA request, and I think they got the answer back in June. In June of 2024, I think it was, or 2023, excuse me, said, yep, we did it. We did it. We flew in 200,000. Yep. And then CIS.org resubmitted the FOIA saying, where are we at now? Several months later, then the government has to come back and admits, yeah, we didn't stop it. We're over 440,000 now.
Oh,
So, and
what?
I want your audience to look there. I want to paint this as well as I can for your audience. It wasn't just people coming into America on the southern border and the northern border. Yes, that was the vast majority of it. But your government, my government, allowed people to use their iPhone like they're getting a reservation on OpenTable to go to a restaurant with no background checks, no anything. The cartels actually hacked into the CBP One app and ran the app and now let millions of people cross through our ports of entry and just disappear into America. And then your federal government did two things. They allowed illegal aliens that were inadmissible to our country to board commercial flights, fly into international airports across our country, and just walk into America. Then they actually chartered flights and flew illegal aliens in from across the globe illegally into airports across America and released them. Your federal government has admitted to 22 million illegals living in our country in 2019. They openly admitted to allowing in 18 million in 4 years. We're at 40 million. I'm telling you, the number of getaways of 3 million is grossly insulting. That number's closer to 15 to 18 million. I'm telling you, without hesitation, at least 50 million illegal aliens live in our country, meaning 1 in 6 to 1 in 7 residents in America is an illegal alien. And no country in the history of civilization has overcome that demographic upheaval ever.
So now what do we do?
Well, that's a great question, and I have it in my book, Treason.
Yeah,
What are we going to do? And I break it down into chapters.
yeah.
And one thing that I will give Donald Trump like an A for the border, shut it down. Let me rephrase that. I'd give him B plus. We're still using the same NGOs to traffic the migrants, the illegal aliens. That nothing things have changed, and yet nothing's changed. The border shut down to about 95%, 96%. I want a border that's 100%. And don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me that I can't, that I, the United States of America, can't keep illiterate peasants out of my country from crossing, 3-year-old little girls crossing a border. I can't stop that. Or some dude that has an IQ of about 12 crossing the border. I can't stop him. I don't have the manpower. I don't have the technology. I don't have the ability. That's an insult to my intelligence and every American. I would give Trump a D in the interior. I just would. Not because of effort or trying to. It's because of pure numbers. If Donald Trump and Tom Homan, who I am a huge fan of Tom Homan, if they stay at the current rate of arrests and deportation, it will take us over 100 years to remove those people from our country. Let me give your audience an idea of what I'm talking about. There are less than 6,000 ICE officers in America. If you don't even want to go off of my data, let's go off the government. The government says 40 million. How does 6,000 people, and let's say there's another 2,000 FBI, ATF agents thrown in there, 8,000. Hell, let's just say we'll throw some border patrol. Let's just go crazy and say there's 10,000 officers working. How does 10,000 find, arrest, and deport 40 million? And the answer is they don't. They don't. In fact, I know that I'm factually true because Donald Trump has already fired, or they call it reassigning, but he fired two ICE directors. Stephen Miller came in last week and had a blowout meeting with DHS immigration officials saying, you are going to have to triple your arrest in order to make a difference. And he was irate that it's not being done. And the reason why it's not being done, there's a multitude of reasons, but the biggest reason is we haven't gone all in. Why haven't we gone all in? You go look at Tom Homan, the border czar. That man's probably lost 50 pounds in the last 6 months from exhaustion. He's absolutely at his wits' ends. Why? Because he hasn't had any funding. We go back to the CR and Speaker Johnson of giving 10, 20, 30, another $50 billion to Ukraine, and that was like emergency spending. And yet that little man can't do emergency spending in order to facilitate the deportations of, of illegal aliens. Why are we not utilizing everything? Meaning, why are we not utilizing the military? Why don't we have a general, a military strategist working with the border czar and DHS to for logistics, the logistics of manpower, supply chains, facilities to hold people for deportation, planes, C-130s that are flying nonstop? Why has that not been done? And that's a big question I have. I don't know if I'm ever going to have a chance to be in front of Donald Trump, but if he called me and said, I need you to come and I need you to give me the state of the state of what you think, I would say, sir, I don't understand how you didn't have this planned out. You were planning on being the president for years. How was this not figured out beforehand? How? I don't understand it. This is bad logistics. There has to be, do we have a national security issue or do we not? That's the question that needs to be answered. Do we or do we not? Donald Trump says it's a national security issue. He said that Joe Biden and his administration committed treason against America. Not at a speech where he went impromptu. Nope, I watched him read off the teleprompter, quote, President Biden and his administration committed treason against America. Okay, well, that's a big statement, sir. When you make an allegation like that, there has to be the next thing is arrest. Where are the arrests? And that's what I'm saying. And what I write in my book is we have to name the traitors. We have to know what they did. How did they do it? How did they move money? Hundreds of billions of dollars. How did they move that money? Well, now we know they moved it through USAID, which I have in my book. They gave it to NGOs, Catholic Charities, Jewish Family Services, on and on and on. And we use religious organizations to transport and smuggle people into America. And
Right.
yet there's no there you know how complicit the religious NGOs are. This is how you know how complicit they were, because not one Democrat said anything about church and state. Did they? Did anybody hear anything about that? Why are we giving
That's a
churches
good point.
hundreds of billions of dollars? Let me tell your
Wow.
audience, I'm Catholic, so this is this, I have a, it's very painful for me to talk like this about my facilitators of my faith, not my faith, but the facilitators.
Right.
Joe Biden, under Joe Biden, this is conservative numbers, over $3 billion were given to Catholic Charities in 3 years. There is now evidence that Joe Biden backfilled the coffers of the Catholic Church in order to pay off their debt for the child sex victims. How much money did the Catholic Charities the Catholic Church received from 2009 to 2024? How much money did they receive from the federal government on the books? $5.2 billion. How much money did the Catholic Church pay out to their sexual victims between 2009 and 2024? $5.2 billion.
What?
Does anybody in the audience believe that this is just coincidental? That this just happened to be the exact same number? We're really going to go there. We're going to look at Hias. Hias is a Jewish immigrant services. Got tens of millions, hundreds of millions, probably $1 billion+. Do you know who was on the board before he became the Secretary of DHS? That'd be Alejandro Mayorkas, who funneled hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to his former NGO charity. This is what our government has done to America. This is why I call it treason. I didn't just come up with, let me try to sell some books. I'm not that type of guy. I like to
No.
just say, this is what I believe. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you what they did and how they did it with facts, not just, I don't, this is not my feelings. I'm not a leftist. This is what I believe and why I believe it. This is treason. And if Donald Trump does not arrest these people that committed treason, then he will pay a severe price. And I'll give you an example. In 2016, he tried to do what he thought was the empathetic, a healing thing, is to not arrest Hillary Clinton. When he did not arrest Hillary Clinton, the left, took that as a sign of weakness, and they attacked him unrelenting for 4 years. So much so they tried to kill him. If he doesn't go and arrest these people, he will embolden these traitors, and these traitors will learn from their mistakes, and they will come out 10 times stronger. And that's just the truth. It's just the truth. And as a former law enforcement officer, I want justice, but I will be very honest with you and your audience. I don't believe that I will ever see justice on earth for these people. I just don't believe it. Every day that no one gets arrested. In this time, at this time in Joe Biden's first term, in the first 120 days, he had already arrested over 500 January Sixers. They went all in.
Yeah, he did.
How many people have been arrested under Donald Trump? Zero.
Well,
Zero.
zero, or how many people have been public, has it been published that have been arrested? Is he, you know, are have people already, and this is a conspiracy theorist here, you can call me whatever, but I mean, have some of these people been taken out and there are actors, mask wearing actors that are taking their place? That's a question. And
Yeah.
but my question with that is, if that is in fact the case, then why are we doing, like you say, the long game? Why are we doing that? Who are we going after and why are we letting this still run?
What,
Does that make
why are
sense?
you? But see, the long game is so crazy because we don't have time,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
It's not like President Trump is going to be the president for 20 years, and we're like, okay, well, let's play the long game, let's snuff him out. But when you look at Law Enforcement 101, Law Enforcement 101 is you go arrest who you can now that you know are guilty and have evidence. Go arrest them and squeeze them tight. None of the Bidens, none of the Clintons, none of the Obamas, none the Anita Hills and all of those people, none of those people want to go to jail. So why don't you arrest them and let all of their attorneys know, I need you to know that I've arrested all of these people, and we are going in right now as we go in to speak to your client, and let your client know, as everybody begins to tell us the truth, and they will get the best deal. And the clock starts now. And watch those people begin to rat each other out in an instant because they want the best deal. What can you offer me? Can you offer me a year in jail? Can you offer me just time? Can you offer me a half house and I don't you don't seize my stuff, or you leave me $100 million and you take the other 400 million? That's how you do it. This idea that we're playing this crazy long game and that people are being arrested and hidden, I just don't buy it.
I don't know. Go
It
ahead.
doesn't make sense. A lot, and I and again, I will say, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I know there's things I don't know or have I'm not privy to. I'm very aware of that, but I'm just looking at it from a very simple black and white way that I think is this doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. You have James Comey. Why isn't James Comey in jail? We know that he lied about the Russia hoax. We know he did. We know he did. He was the main collaborator on it. Why is he not under arrest? Hillary Clinton, if I would have gotten rid of 30,000 emails and pieces of evidence when the judge wanted it, I'd be thrown in jail. I'd be thrown in jail. So why does she get to do that and get away with it? Well, it's because we don't live in a land of law and order. We live in a land of chaos. We live in a land of fraud and propaganda. Look, I write a book, and some people have come out to me and said, "Hey, you know what? When I first read this, begin to read this chapter, I scoffed, and then it made real sense." And maybe your audience will choke when I first say this, but I write a chapter where I talk about the similarities between George Washington and Donald Trump, and how there's a lot of similarities when you look at their personalities. No, they don't. I mean, Donald Trump would make President Washington chafe, right, with his arrogance and his, but, and then Donald Trump would be repulsed at George Washington's stiffness, his rules and regulations, right? But what they shared was this absolute belief that God had put them in that position for a reason, and that God has that wants America to succeed, and they both loved America to the point where they'd do anything for him, for her. And
Yeah, they
my,
both.
if I had 1 minute with Donald Trump, I would say, "Sir, you are on the precipice of being put on the same pedestal as George Washington," meaning George Washington was considered the indispensable man, meaning without George Washington, we might have had the United States of America, but it would have never been the country that we are today. Donald Trump, you are the same position. You're saving the republic, and that's not hyperbole. You are saving the republic. But in order to save the republic, you are going to have to do things that are going to be grotesquely uncomfortable, meaning you're going to have to go and arrest massive, important, influential families across our country and throw their asses in jail. And you're going to have to do that and under the scrutiny and hatred of the media. But if you can look past the current hurt that you're going to go into, 100 years from now, historians are going to call you one of the greatest presidents in our history, and your name will be synonymous with Washington. That's just the truth. Or if you don't
I
do
see that.
anything, yeah, but if you don't do anything and you just kind of half-ass it, they're going to put you in the dustbin of history. You're going to be one of those other presidents. You're not going to be a Lincoln. You're not going to be a Washington. Donald Trump has to do something right now that is horrific, that he has to go arrest these people. And it's going to be uncomfortable for everyone. No one wants to see politicians arrested. No one wants to believe that our federal government is rotten to the core. They're pedophiles. No one wants to know that. No one wants to know, like I'm a Catholic. No one wants, I don't want to know that there's a raging homosexual issue within the clergy of the Catholic Church. There is pedophilia running rampant all the way up to the Vatican. No one wants to talk about that, but we have to if we want to get our hands around it. So what are we going to do? We're going to continue to do the same damn thing and just keep. So who's going to carry on MAGA? J.D. Vance? I'm not going to hang my head on J.D. Vance. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. Marco Rubio? I don't think so. I don't trust the man that puts lifts in his shoes. I just don't. So I'm not going to go with Marco Rubio. I think, I don't know how you feel. I think that we are in a constitutional crisis, and I think that we've already passed a crossroads of choosing the right road to go into. I think America is hurtling to her disaster unless we get some control. And I write that in my book. I talk about the why did our federal government allow 30 million people into our country in 4 years? Why did they do that? It's real simple if you understand it. The only way to change America is through demographic change, not race or ethnicity, just numbers of non-citizens versus citizens.
Right.
United States of America women do not reproduce at the replacement level, meaning we're a dying nation. When you bring in illegal aliens, and I have a chapter in this in my book, and I detail per UN birth data, the people that we're allowing into our country have a reproductive rate of 2 to 5 times that of a U.S. citizen. It is a bad math problem, and we are going to lose. Period. And then when you extrapolate outside of this and you look at 50 million people that are in our country illegally, and the Democrats are already suing and have been suing for years and preparing for the 2030 census. When the 2030 census happens and they count illegal immigrants in our census, do you know that between 25 and 62 House seats will flip to the Democrats?
Yeah.
And it's over. And then they also, because of demographics, have to go and reallocate electoral college votes. Mm-hmm. It's over. America, that is the why. If anything in my book, that, and I'm very proud of my book, I did it myself. It's a bestseller again on Amazon. I'm very proud of that. But if there was one thing I want you to know, is the why. Why did your federal government open the border and allow 30 million illegal aliens into your country? And the answer is because they want to fundamentally transform America, and they were going to do it by strangleholding and taking over the House and the presidency, and it's game over. And a question I ask everyone that interviews me, right, left, or center, when they say they have some pushback and they go, I don't know, then I ask them very simple question. Everything that I've told you and everything in my book is cited. I use government data, even though I don't trust them. I use it to show how bad it is. And you agree that my data is correct. You just don't like my conclusion. So if you don't like my conclusion, why don't you take some time and tell me what the hell is going on?
Right.
And there's silence because they have no answer. Why would your government bring in over 200,000 special interest aliens / terrorists, over 200,000 Chinese nationals with 100,000 BNPLA soldiers? Why would you bring in 60 to 70% of the 12 million that you captured are single adult military age men from the continent of Africa and the Middle East? Why would you do that? You do it because you hate your country and you want to change it.
So we've got 3 minutes. So they did it. It's done. And here we sit as people that love our country and want this to change. And I really encourage everybody, one, to pick up this book and read it, because we barely scratched the surface again on this book. It's very, very good. But to try to end on an up note, as you've said, if anybody can do it, it is Donald J. Trump, in my opinion. I do believe that he has a lot of light in him, just like George Washington. So I do like that you saw that correlation as well. With 2 minutes to go, how do we wrap this up and let everybody know that there's still some hope?
There's always hope because we're America and God has blessed us. That's just the truth.
Yep.
But we have to take back the lowest level of our governments. We have to take back our city council, our school boards, our mayors, our sheriffs, and then we take county by county and take our states back. You have to take your religious organizations back as well. And you have to demand that Americans are treated first, second, third, 1,000s. Everyone else is behind it. And if you don't want to be a part of the solution, then don't be so, be better be concerned that that's going to come crashing down on you. Because
Right.
when the demographics change, look at what's happening in Los Angeles, Seattle. Hell, let's look at Paris. Let's look at UK. Let's look at Germany and Sweden. This is a global issue. There, your country will be swallowed up, and then there's no turning back. So get in the game, get knowledgeable, and then my last thing I would say, be bold. Stop being afraid. Know what
Right.
the truth is and just speak it boldly. Because if you're not, if you want to be silent, then you will be a casualty in this war. And if you don't think we're in a war for the soul of America, then you are either ignorant or you're complicit.
JJ, thank you so much for coming on Whiplash Talk again. Your message is powerful. It's spot on. As you said, it's over the target. And people have got to hear this message so they can know what's going on. They don't have to make it their own timeline per se, but they have to know what's going on in our country to be able to stand up and to protect it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you for joining us.
you.
You're welcome. If you want to get in touch with JJ Carroll or if you want to follow him, your website is
JJCarroll.com. Real simple, has everything on
jjcarroll.com.
there. Yep.
And there's a link to your book, Treason, on my page at vbsradio.com/whiplashtalk, or you can find it on Amazon directly and probably on JJ's website too, I would guess. Thank you so
Yes.
much.
Thank
Thank you so
you.
much. Everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.